This is Soundcheck at 93.9 WNYC. We're live online at WNYC.org. I'm John Schaefer. In the second part of our program today, we'll be speaking with Paul Kelly, the Australian singer-songwriter whose music has often been compared to some of his idols, rock icons like Bob Dylan and Bruce Springsteen. He has a new CD that we'll be sampling. But in the first part of the program, we are going to hear some music from a rock icon, namely Frank Zappa, whose own musical heroes included such contemporary classical composers as Edgar Varèse and Igor Stravinsky. And in fact, the newest CD of Frank Zappa's music, called Gregory Peccary and Other Persuasions, is out, and it's performed by none other than Ensemble Moderne, one of the leading contemporary chamber orchestras in Europe. They're based in Frankfurt, and they have been referred to, with some justification, as Zappa's virtual last band. Joining us from the studios of our colleague station in Santa Monica, California, KCRW, is Gail Zappa, Frank's widow. And Gail, you wrote the liner notes for this new CD. It seems that you're pretty impressed with the playing that the band brought to this music.
They're pretty spectacular, their performance. And the most remarkable thing about this record, and I just want to say up front, is that they financed this themselves. So this is a labor of love for them.
Wow.
And they are spectacular players. Each one of them is a virtuoso player in his own right. And then they have these gorgeous instruments that they've mastered, and it's quite extraordinary that they would go this far to play this music.
Well, I remember seeing the original collaboration between Frank Zappa and Ensemble Moderne in Frankfurt back in 1992. That resulted in the album called The Yellow Shark. What's on the new CD? Are these arrangements of older pieces or some works that he wrote specifically for the band?
No, actually, this is not really a collaboration. This is a project that they invented for themselves, and they said, you know, we'd like to do these pieces. Can we have permission to arrange certain of these pieces? Please, please, please. This is them picking the pieces that they wanted to play, and me insisting on at least one piece that I wanted them to learn, because I thought the audience would really enjoy their version of it.
And which piece was that?
The one that I wanted them to play,
yeah.
Peaches. Peaches and Regalia, because they've been touring. They toured the Yellow Shark project, and then they were touring this, and I said, you know, in the tradition of e-music, which is classical music, they normally print the program, they tell you everything they're going to play. And I said, don't tell them everything. Just tell them what they're, you know, expecting to hear. And then when you get your standing ovation, which you will because you guys are so good at what you do, then you can whip something on them that they aren't expecting you to know, and they will go nuts, which is what happened. And so the piece that I asked them to play for that was Peaches, because, you know, there's hardly a Zappa fan that is not familiar with that piece and doesn't love it, so...
Well, let's hear a little bit of that. This is from the CD called Gregory Peccary and Other Persuasions. Ensemble Moderne from Frankfurt, Germany, playing the music of Frank Zappa. Thank you. That's a little bit of Peaches in Regalia, a Frank Zappa classic played by the classical ensemble known as Ensemble Moderne, based in Frankfurt, from their new CD Gregory Peccary and Other Persuasions on the RCA Red Seal label. We're speaking with Gail Zappa on Soundcheck this afternoon, and Gail, you were mentioning E-music, Ernstmusik, serious music, is one of the two big classifications that Germans unfortunately use for music, the other being U-music, which is the entertainment music. So there seems to be, just in the way that critics and writers there refer to music, this dichotomy between entertainment and you know, real seriousness of purpose. What do they make of Frank's music, which was both?
Well, I think their version of U music is a little bit more like, you know, carnival-esque kind of music, and is meant to support a lot of beer drinking, as opposed to E music, which is what they take quite seriously.
Right.
And as far as the level of professionalism.
Mm-hmm. So Ensemble Moderne really seems to be kind of breaking. This seems like a pretty important thing that they're doing here, not just working with Frank back in 1992 on the Yellow Shark and, you know, touring it in the years after, but now coming back, as you say, coming back to his music as a labor of love, as something they wanted to produce themselves. This really kind of makes a statement about whether you can really do that, you know, kind of divide music into serious and entertaining.
Well, it's challenging for them, I think, and they like playing it, and I think that they had a really great experience working with Frank. I know that he did, and that's where, you know, the idea that they were the last band comes from, because I'll explain it, actually, that the reason for that is because this is the first orchestra that took it upon themselves to put the same kind of time in concentrate, very concentrated amounts, with the composer in order to work directly with him and have the music realized as close as possible to what his intention was. And normally, if an orchestra opts to play the music of a composer, they have a couple of hours, maybe if you're lucky, mm-hmm. where they run through it, because these guys can all sight read. But these are also virtuoso musicians. Many orchestras, that's what those guys they've studied all their lives to play, and it's a pity that they don't have the time that they should have to get to the composer's intention. In this case, these guys for the Yellow Shark project were absolutely committed to that, and they, you know, Frank spent time with them. They played all their instruments for him. He wrote exercises and, you know, opportunities which he created. They learned all the hand signals, so he had the opportunity to create opportunities during the show that he could mess with if he wanted to.
So Frank Zappa sort of developed hand gestures, kind of conducting signals, his own repertoire of signals to the musicians?
Yeah, my personal feeling is that anytime you see any band leader mm-hmm. Hit the downbeat with his both feet on the stage, like he jumps, and then that's the downbeat when he hits the floor, and the show goes on from there. That is Frank Zappa. He's the one who introduced that, and he used hand signals so that he could I think what you need to understand is his favorite thing to do is compose, and so he was always very interested in creating the best opportunities for the possibility to compose, you know, in the moment. So if you have a really well-trained band to work with, it gives you a lot more freedom, because you can set up certain things with hand signals which tell you, you know, certain choices you can have in notes, and you can set up the tempo randomly if you want, and you can, you know, just literally create a musical situation or musical environment in which you can play your guitar, for instance. And in this case, allow the guys that want to improvise, play a solo or something, create an opportunity for them to do that, which is, you know, that's giving the band the body commercials that they need for the events that they might be able to participate in after the show.
Now, so when Ensemble Moderne approached you, and I guess it's officially the Zappa Family Trust, right, for permission to do these arrangements, Did you talk at all about whether they might try and create these opportunities in some of the arrangements that they do on the new record?
No, I don't feel that that's a reasonable goal for anyone to attempt. It's not. I'm horrified by anyone who would attempt to replace Frank Zappa.
But I mean, they had to do something to get, you know, the original band that a lot of these pieces were recorded with is quite a bit different from Ensemble Moderne, which is
They had to create arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
That was the issue. They came and said, "We want to play these pieces. Can we have permission to arrange it?" And I looked at the list, and we decided yes, in some cases. And
who ended up doing the actual arranging?
They worked with Ali N. Askin.
Mm-hmm.
Who they worked with before. I think they introduced Ali to Frank, although Ali has his own history with being a fan of Frank's from, you know, attending shows long before they ever met. And then he's a composer in his own right as well.
And he worked on the Yellow Shark project, too.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. All right, well, let's hear what he and the ensemble have done with Put a Motor in Yourself. This is another bit of music from Frank Zappa from the new CD called Gregory Peccary and Other Persuasions, played by Ensemble Moderne on Soundcheck. The album is called Gregory Peccary and Other Persuasions. It's the Ensemble Moderne doing arrangements of the music of Frank Zappa. We'll continue our conversation with Frank Zappa's widow, Gail Zappa. She wrote the liner notes, in fact, for this new CD. In just a moment, when we continue with Soundcheck. Monday on Soundcheck, Magui Marin, the French choreographer, who's presenting her inventive new dance called One Can't Eat Applause at the Joyce Theater. And conductor Gerard Schwartz, who for many years led the Mostly Mozart Festival Orchestra, returns to New York City to lead the Juilliard Orchestra. We'll speak with him as well, Monday at 2 on Soundcheck.
WNYC is supported by TheaterMania.com, offering information and tickets for Broadway off and off-off-Broadway shows. More information and an email newsletter with theater offers are available online at TheaterMania.com. And by Miller Theater, presenting Alarm Will Sound tomorrow at 8, with music by Englishman Benedict Mason. The program includes Animals and the Origins of the Dance and the premiere of a new site-specific work, 212-854-7799.
I hear a new word. Now hear this. This is John Flansburgh from the band They Might Be Giants, and this week I'll take you on a special hour-long exploration into the world of popular music right here on WNYC. Whether you're the kind of person who's always on top of the pop music scene, or if you just want to catch up on what you've been missing, please tune in to Now Hear This with John Flansburgh. Today at 3 on 93.9 FM, WNYC.
Supported by Carnegie Hall, presenting violinist Joshua Bell in recital Thursday, April 8th at 8. Works by Schubert, Grieg, and Chopin are on the program. More information, 212-247-7800 or carnegiehall.org. WNYC has one pair of tickets for Joshua Bell's April 8th show, and we'll give them away now to the fifth caller to reach us at 212-669-7675. And as always, if you've won anything from us in the past 30 days, you're not eligible for these tickets. We're speaking with Gail Zappa about the new CD called Gregory Peccary and Other Persuasions. It's the music of the late Frank Zappa, played by Germany's Ensemble Moderne. Gail, this is not the first ensemble, the first major contemporary music ensemble in Europe to have taken an interest in Frank's music. Pierre Boulez and the Ensemble Anticontemporain in Paris recorded a bunch of Frank's pieces, too. He must have just been tickled that people of that stature, you know, felt so strongly about his music.
I think tickled is an understatement.
So what was his reaction when, first of all, when Boulez, you know, when he heard that Boulez was going to be recording his music, and then when the commission came to work with Ensemble Moderne?
Well, the Boulez project was, in fact, a commission.
Mm-hmm.
So Boulez wanted Frank to write something for them, and they ended up, because of time constraints, working on, you know, arrangements for the actual ensemble, and it was conducted by Boulez, and so that was a really, it was pretty exciting for Frank, because, you know, you get to see one of your favorite composers, mm-hmm. and person, and you know, sort of music, contemporary music personalities at work. So there's that aspect, and then they're working on your stuff, and it's like, you know, how close are they going to get to what you wanted it to be?
Yeah.
It's a big challenge.
Well, the result was an album called The Perfect Stranger, Boulez conducting the music of Frank Zappa. The new record, Gregory Peccary and Other Persuasions, is, as you say, Gail, mostly arrangements of pre-existing pieces, but there is one piece on the new record that Frank wrote specifically for Ensemble Moderne, called What Will Rumi Do?
He had assignments for the entire orchestra, the way the name came about, and everybody had something that they were supposed to be doing during this particular piece. Which was an experiment, you know, mm-hmm. In many ways. And at one point, he noticed that Rumi didn't have anything to play, and someone said, "What will Rumi do?" And that became the title.
And here's how the piece sounds, played by Ensemble Moderne, the music by Frank Zappa, from the CD Gregory Peccary and Other Persuasions. A little bit of What Will Rumi Do? That's one of the works on the new Ensemble Moderne CD of Frank Zappa's music, Gregory Peccary and Other Persuasions, on the RCA Red Seal label. Gail Zappa is my guest on this portion of Soundcheck here at 93.9 WNYC and WNYC.org. Gail, what did Frank listen to around the house when he was home? Was he listening to, you know, the contemporary classical composers, Stravinsky and Varese and Schoenberg and the like?
When I first met Frank, that's what he introduced me to, and he listened to a lot of records, and I would say that, yes, it was all those, but his favorite, of course, was Edgar Varese, and then I think Stravinsky, and there's a lot of other composers that you could, you know, they're doing different things. They're not locked into necessarily a particular format, and a lot of things that he wanted to hear. He liked really heavily structured, rhythmic, interesting rhythmic events. So that's, I think, one of the reasons why he loved Stravinsky. But I have to say, when I first met him, he he loved Firebird and he loved Lisbeth Du Soldat beyond belief.
Mm.
And at
when
the
was
end
that?
Of
when
his,
did you first meet him?
That was I was 66.
Mm. Okay.
So he was about 25. And that was at the beginning of his career. And then later, you know, he didn't have time to listen to records. So, I mean, for the first couple of years, it was really a great, enjoyable opportunity for him. But he was also, you know, really paying attention. So then he was a composer in his own right for all those years. And as a mature human being, fully invested in, you know, self-examination of his life and as of his work as a composer and what he was interested in, it emerged there, that the piece that he really appreciated the most of Stravinsky's was Aegon. So you guys out there, check it out.
So the neoclassical period of Stravinsky. Was he at all interested in Baroque music? Because, you know, he did that Francesco Zappa record on of synclavier music, I guess, sometime in the early 80s.
You mean his first CD in 200 years?
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Well, I don't know if that's just a nod to Baroque classicism or whatever. I think it was just amusing that there was this guy named Francesco Zappa. That's a real composer, and that's really his music.
Is it really? I know he said that, but I just wasn't sure whether to take that, you know, with a grain of salt. Or so all those little Baroque pieces really were written more than 200 years ago.
That's right. And what happened is I looked up in one of those, Groves Musical Dictionary like that, to see if when they were ever going to get around to listing Frank Zappa, and I saw Francesco Zappa gets a nod. And so we did some research, you know, we talked to the Library of Congress to see where we could find some of his scores, and, you know, we had some help with different people who sent us stuff, and then he decided to make the record.
Wow.
So you know what? You really need to read those liner notes.
You mean for the new record?
Well, for, even for that record.
But I read them. I just wasn't sure whether I believed them or not. We're speaking with Gail Zappa about the new CD of Frank Zappa's music by Ensemble Moderne. So this is not, you know, the first time that, as I say, that major European figures have been interested in Frank Zappa's music. But it is a little bit of a different project just in the way it came about. You were telling us before that the ensemble really did this of their own accord. They basically produced the whole thing, which means funding the whole thing themselves. And is there going to be, you know, touring to back this up? Will they be bringing these pieces here to the States?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question for them. I would hope so. That would be fantastic. They have toured this. I think they've played this program. Maybe not this program exactly the way it is, but they have. I think it was premiered in June, the year they recorded it in Paris, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Could be wrong. Somebody's probably going to correct me. But you know, they have played this quite maybe 10 dozen times.
Wow.
You know. Yeah.
Do you get a lot of requests from, you know, ensembles of one stripe or another who want to use Frank's music?
Yes.
And what do you do with those?
we let them torture us. We license the music for performance a lot, and primarily in Europe, a lot more in Europe than we do here. And that was always the case anyway. Those guys have perhaps better trained ears or else the information is more readily accessible
mm-hmm.
to the audience. So, you know, it's played, you know, every month there's performances, I think, somewhere in Europe, somewhere in the world, for sure.
You mean mostly by classical players?
Yeah. I guess.
Uh-huh.
It's hard for me to make a distinction. Music is music.
Yeah.
It's all those other people that are playing it that have to go out for funding, have to put a name on something.
Right, right. Does it happen that sometimes a group or a person will come to you and say, I want to do this and that and the other thing with this piece, and you'll say, no, I don't think so?
Yes, it does, quite frequently.
Well, obviously, with Ensemble Moderne, there was no turning them away, because they were pretty much set on doing this. Why do you suppose that was?
Because they worked with him, and they knew him, and they had an appreciation for the music. I mean, I think it's not... it's related to what happened when Frank went to visit behind in the Eastern Bloc countries. He went to Czechoslovakia, what was then Czechoslovakia, and also to Hungary at the invitation of, you know, government officials, and to say, for their national celebration, to say goodbye to the Russians from the, you know, the Russian occupation. And people said, you know, he was just astonished by all the stories, but people who had gone to prison, who would risk prison to be able to buy his music, and they would save up, you know, forever so they could get the albums on the black market, and they were the most important albums to them because they could play them over and over again and always find something new in the music, whereas if you bought, you know, just your regular pop album, you couldn't play it so many times, and it certainly wasn't worth going to prison.
Yeah. Well, Frank Zappa certainly had, you know, his political side in order as well. Is anybody, you know, sort of carrying on his work in that field?
What do you think?
Name names, Gail. I mean, who's out there that's fighting the good fight?
Well, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people that probably don't know what they can do, but it's mostly just, you know, pay attention, doubt everything, question it, examine it for yourself. Register to vote, and you know, pay attention to people that are really telling you something, and, you know, be thankful that we have people like Howard Stern and Larry Flynt to defend the First Amendment. Maybe not be the way you choose to defend it, but somebody's got to do it, and that's what we've got out there. And that's, you know, just pay attention. That's the point. Pay attention. Stay in the moment. Don't live in the past. Don't live in the future. Stay here. Be here now, because this is where...
We're going to hear a little bit more of the music of Frank Zappa, played by Ensemble Moderne from the new CD called Gregory Peccary and Other Persuasions. We're going to wrap up with Beltway Bandits, but before we do, we've been speaking to Gail Zappa. And, Gail, it's really been a pleasure speaking with you. You sound like you're pretty jazzed about this new CD.
I'm jazzed about people who love Frank's music. It's, you know, exciting. It's something I have in common with all those people out there. And I'd like to see more of it out there and more of it touring. And, you know, yeah, I think it's good. They did a...
Yeah, let's hope that the ensemble actually gets over to these shores touring some of this stuff. Because, you know, having heard them play this music... You know, it's like they own it, you know, which has to be kind of a weird feeling for you, you know, to hear somebody else, you know, so closely tied to this music. But I guess...
Well, you know, there's one key element missing.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, you said he was late. Frank Zappa was never late. He was always, always early, even in death.
Yeah. All right. Well, Gail, thank you very much for joining us. It's really been a pleasure. And, you know, hopefully there'll be a lot more to come.
Thank you.
Here's Beltway Bandits, played by Ensemble Moderne, the music by Frank Zappa.